Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, brought to you by the Desai Group. The Desai Group, getting the real work of innovation done. Visit them on the web at desai.com, D-E-S-A-I.com. The High Velocity Radio Show is where we celebrate innovative professionals producing better results in less time. Produced and directed by Lee Cantor and brought to you live from the Radio X studio in Atlanta, Georgia. Now here's your host, Stone Payton.
Welcome to the show, everyone. This is your host, Stone Payton, and joining me in the booth is our producer and my co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Stone. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. What's shaking over there for you?
Just usual summertime fun.
Yeah. So are you going anywhere this summer? Are you guys going to travel, or are you doing one of those staycations?
No. My family traveled a lot earlier in the year, so yeah. We're staying put.
We're going to do a lot of travel over the next few weeks. In fact, probably ought to give our listeners a little bit of a heads up. We're going to take a three-week hiatus. So for the next three Mondays, go in, listen to the archives, catch Oprah, or watch some morning cartoons. But we're not going to be here live for the next three Mondays, but we're going to be back strong here in a few weeks.
Great. And where are we going? Am I invited?
Hey, come along. You might as well. I don't think we'd know the difference. We're headed up to a little resort community called Mount Gretna, just outside of Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Oh, nice.
And then actually before that, for July 4th weekend, we're going up to the Highlands, North Carolina.
Man,
yeah.
It's not easy being you.
Hey, right after the show, I got to stop by the garage and get the oil change and the tires rotated and all that. It's really important executive stuff.
That's it. Yeah. So you're taking the limo, the official high-velocity radio limo?
Oh, yeah. You've seen that bus, haven't you? Well, we have a marvelous show for you this morning. I'm delighted to bring to you a lady by the name of Stephanie A. Lloyd. She's a talent strategies consultant with Caliber Search Group. Please join me in welcoming to the show Stephanie A. Lloyd.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. So before we get started, can you just give us a little background about what you're out there doing for folks?
Okay, great. I have 15 years of experience in both corporate recruiting and executive search. And I now am kind of taking that experience. I'm doing a lot of writing as well as consulting for individuals who need help with their job search and personal branding strategies. And then I'm also working with companies who need help, anything talent related, whether it's talent acquisition, retention, employee communication, integrating social media into the workplace effectively and to use it in all these ways.
And integrating social media, that's something that you really do invest a lot of energy into these days, don't you?
A lot, yes.
So what else do you write about, and who do you write for?
I write a national careers and workplace column for The Examiner, and that goes out to 70 major markets in the U.S., and that the focus is advice for job seekers in that column. And then I also write on my personal blog, which is Radiant Veracity, and there I write about anything talent, workplace related. I do write a lot about social media to help people. I really encourage people to start their own blogs and that kind of thing. And then just whatever else I feel like writing about.
Now, when you started this, obviously it was early on in this, in the social media world. How would you recommend somebody who's starting from scratch and has maybe limited knowledge and comfort zone in this? What should be like their path? Should it be blog first, Twitter, Facebook? Like, is there kind of a rule of thumb you go by?
That's so hard to say. As far as how to get started first, I would advise a little observation before jumping in. Now, I say that I don't mean 2 months. I mean a few days or a week, because I think people, I have friends that have had a Twitter account for months and have yet to tweet. I think that's
They're getting ready.
Yeah.
You know, it's 140 characters and we're using them right.
That's right. I mean, I can tell you how I got started. I fell into this by accident, really. One of my good friends told me for years that I was a frustrated writer. And as soon as I learned what a blog was, I never had read one, but I knew I wanted to write one. The problem was that I didn't have anything to write about. And I kept thinking, why on earth would anybody want to read anything I would write? So it occurred to me one day, at the time I was doing a lot of distance running half marathons, and running was a huge part of my life at that time. And I thought, okay, I'll write about running. So I started a personal blog on Blogger. That was my first mistake. And
we got to ask more about that in a minute.
Yes, I'm sure Google will be pleased with that.
Oh, there goes the Google sponsorship.
Really, just lost them off the line.
Bye-bye.
Well, they've got some room for improvement, but we'll save that for another time. Anyway, so I started a blog about running and just about you know, anything I wanted to talk about and just personal stuff. And the truth is, it was a horrible blog and nobody read it. And I didn't even read it. It was terrible. But at least I learned through that experience. I mean, I had that stupid thing for at least 2 years and I kept it up and it's gone. Don't try to find it.
How long were you posting? Like, how often would you post?
It varied. I would have days I'd post 10 times and then I would have days.
It's a lot of running.
The first 5 posts were probably about running and that was about it. And then it just became whatever. But, you know, and then I would go for probably a week at sometimes without writing. I mean, that is a challenge. It's tough to be consistent. You have to have a lot to say. Anyway, so I learned a lot through that blogging experience. Well, blogging is what led me to Twitter. Now, I know for most people, it's probably the other way around. Once I started my blog, I decided I should start reading other people's blogs.
That's a good tip. Write that down.
I got it.
So I discovered a blog by a young attorney here in Atlanta, and I love her blog. It's called Going Through the Motions, and I still read it. And she, on the right side of her blog site, she had a widget, and all I could see was that it looked like she was talking to people. Short messages. So I clicked on that, and that's how I discovered Twitter.
Oh, wow.
And so this is, I want to say June of 06. So in hindsight, pretty early. Right. Twitter had only been around a couple months at that time.
Right.
So, well, the moment I discovered Twitter, I signed up.
That's 140 characters. That's easy compared to a blog.
That's exactly right. And actually, once I signed on to Twitter, I did a lot less blogging because Twitter was just faster, easier, and I could communicate with live people.
Right.
You know, blogging, unless you do it correctly, which I wasn't, is only a one way.
Right. You're talking and you're hoping someone's listening.
Right. Yeah. We can talk more about that. So I created this personal Twitter account and I was very active on it and I made new friends and I learned all kinds of things and I had some really, I'm sure, awful, horribly boring tweets. And then after about a year, I thought, you know, there's got to be a way I could leverage this professionally. At that time, I was pretty anonymous. I didn't have my real picture on there. I think I had a picture from when I was like 4 years old and I didn't use my name and I didn't reveal my identity, but really that was because I wanted to talk about people I was working with.
Right. So that was important.
So it was important.
That's
nobody
another
knew who
tip.
I was.
Another tip.
We'll be able to do a workshop when we get done with this interview.
I know. That's good.
So anyway, that's how, originally my professional account, which I now only have, I have combined all my personal and professional Twittering into one account, which was at ATL Recruiter. And then I have recently, for branding purposes, changed to my real name, Stephanie A. Lloyd, on Twitter. And I will say, here's another tip. When I first had the two separate accounts, my ATL Recruiter Twitter account was horribly boring because I was just spewing information one way. I wasn't really interacting. I felt like I had to be this professional image, and therefore I couldn't say anything personal. And it wasn't until I just decided to scrap the other one and just be me,
right,
that things really started to happen.
How about that?
To life. Yep.
So it makes sense to be you and to have a little bit of personal stuff peppered in there. We've had people on the show, Stephanie, that have talked at some length about leveraging Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, all these social media platforms, to further their business. I know that that you are a talent management, talent acquisition consultant. For the person that's out of a job and they've been told, go out, network, find out what's out there, meet people. You never know who knows who. Is there wisdom in someone who's out of work doing things like blogging and getting on Twitter and that kind of thing?
Absolutely. And I do talk a lot about this on my current blog, Radiant Veracity. And I really strongly am trying and encouraging people to get on Twitter, to meet people and interact and network, build relationships and discover new opportunities. But then, you know, what I have found, I just started my current blog, Radiant Veracity, 6, maybe 8 weeks ago at the most. And, you know, I've been so amazed these last 6 or 8 months, the opportunities that have come about through Twitter, the people that I've met, things that I've been doing, just the it blows my mind. And and now the blog, you know, I never would have imagined it's taken things even that much further. It's really truly amazing. I mean, you know, I didn't know I had so much to say.
It's funny when you talk about something you're passionate about, right? You know, a lot of words come.
Yes, that's exactly right. And, you know, let's face it, 140 characters can be limiting. So, yes, I strongly encourage people to learn, you know, to be smart about it and develop a good strategy and learn from other people who, you know, they think do these things well. But there's no doubt in my mind that there is so much value in being able to connect with so many other people that you have things in common with, that you can work together, you can collaborate. You just don't know what's around the corner.
But can you share maybe a story you have where you were out there on the blogosphere, Twittersphere, and you were doing something, you saw somebody you didn't know, and you reached out, and you then like had a relationship, like collaborative, or maybe an opportunity arose?
Well,
For somebody who doesn't know anything,
kind
of understand how that evolves. It's not something like, because some people think like on LinkedIn that I put my profile on LinkedIn, I'll be getting my LinkedIn check shortly. You know, like that's all it takes.
Those are the same people, I'm sure, that put their resume on Monster
and wait for the check.
They're doing their job search. Right.
So just if you can explain how that really goes back and forth, and it's a process just like offline.
Okay. I do have a good example, and I have a good friend named Michael Long. He's the Red Recruiter on Twitter. He's in San Antonio, Texas. And we connected, I don't know, February, March, some time frame. And I don't remember exactly how we met on Twitter, but we started communicating. And the next thing, you know, I knew we decided to schedule some time to speak on the phone. So we had a good conversation and then just kind of continued the relationship on Twitter and learning from each other and helping, you know, trading ideas. And the Red Recruiter, he obviously does recruiting too. We have a lot of the same passions. And so as a part of that, he was involved with the SHRM. It stands for Society for Human Resource Management. They had a staffing conference. Their annual staffing conference was coming up, and he was going to be on a panel to discuss social media in the workplace. And they needed another person, and he recommended me. So next thing I know, I'm on a plane to Vegas, you know, and I had the opportunity to attend the conference and to meet not just Michael in real life and be on this panel with him, which was a ton of fun. But to meet so many wonderful other people, such as China Gorman. She's the COO of SHRM, and on Twitter, she's SHRM COO. And just a fabulous opportunity all the way around. And then, so I continue to stay in touch with the people that I met at the conference and with China. And I recently interviewed China for Examiner. I wrote a column. She recently testified in front of Congress on a human resources issue that they're working on. So, you know, I know that's not concrete. Like, I know you're not seeing dollar signs, but that's not how I look at this. I look at this as one thing leads to another. You know, you build relationships with people, you help each other connect and
improve. Right. And Stone coined a term called circlenomics, and I think that this speaks to that,
okay,
where she
perfect.
Expanded her circle.
Yeah, very much so, I think. I think these social media platforms, and the two you mentioned are two that I have a little bit of experience with, to me are just marvelous for bringing quality relationships into your circle.
Right.
And often they really can produce.
And she never would have, that would have never happened in a million years.
No.
Unless they met through Twitter.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And so going back to the person that's out of work, and one of my observations is, I mean, we're not talking about dead wood here. There's a lot of really strong talent on the street right now.
A lot.
And so they have the capacity to write and to share resources and to share, thought leadership even. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what I think I hear you saying is that these folks should be out and get their light out from under the bushel and start sharing some of this through these medias, right?
That's right. And I have found that the best strategy when using social media, particularly a platform like a blog or Twitter, where, like I said before, unless you use either one correctly, just a one-way, using it as a one-way communication tool is not what I'm talking about. That's not going to get you anywhere. But these give you platforms. You know, when you help other people, they want to help you too.
Yeah.
And not only that, there are a lot of talented, very intelligent people out there. You know, Twitter and especially a blog can help them. They can use that as a platform to demonstrate their knowledge, to share it with other people. you know, and I'm really strongly encouraging, and I'm building these for now, or for people now, called social resumes. And I don't know if you've seen them, but you can do this in a WordPress blog. And, you know, I love even just a simple three-page format where the first page is kind of like the home page. It might have a picture, a professional picture, and a bio of the person. Maybe if they have other things they write, a link maybe to their blog or to other, you know, websites they've, you know, just examples of their work or things they've done. Another page where you actually have the resume and you have it in multiple formats because you don't know how people are going to access it. They could be on a BlackBerry. They could be at their computer. You know, you don't know. So you need to have it available in different formats, you know, Adobe, Word, et cetera. And then a contact form. You know, the third page is contact me and here's how you get in touch with me. So I think those are really fantastic ways. You know, it's just another way to be found. I recommend reserving your name as the URL.
Mm. What a great concept. The social resume is how you characterize that?
Yeah.
What a marvelous. Yeah, I love that.
That's great. And the way you formatted it. Is there an example of that somewhere that you have out there?
There is. One that I like, one of my favorites that I've seen so far, and I'm working on several right now, but they're not up yet, is if you go to eterrellmatthews.com. Willie Jackson built that for him. And I've seen a few, but that one has, it's just very clean and simple. Right. And so really well done.
Well, with your permission, when we post this interview on the High Velocity Radio website, we'll include a link or two.
Great. That would be
great. Something like this. Because that's something that people ought to know about.
Sure.
That is really cool. So what are some mistakes one might make if they didn't have direction from an expert like you in crafting this social resume and or just communicating in some of these platforms?
Do you have 8 hours?
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen MySpace and Facebook? what are some, well, a non-professional picture would be a really bad start. A bio that's not well written would be a really bad start. A junky, cluttered looking site would be
right, because
less than ideal.
People have to understand this is representing them in the eyes of the person's going to hire. Yes.
It's just like if you were doing one for an organization, you want to put your best foot forward.
Exactly.
Right.
Would you send a resume, you know, on newsprint, you know,
well,
type?
Yes,
you know?
People do that.
You know,
they send a resume on blue paper with bunnies. I mean, they'll do anything.
Well, you know, I'm sure lots of CEOs and executives do that.
Probably not a lot of executives and CEOs, but sadly, too many people do those kinds
of things. Hey, I just got a brainstorm.
Yeah.
What if we did radio resumes and we incorporated them into her social resume?
Oh, I love it.
Audio, isn't that cool? An audio resume?
Yeah, you know, like, and have them come in or call in.
Yeah.
And we
interview them.
And with someone like Stephanie, we'd know what questions
to
ask. Because I would know. I'd ask questions like, you know, are you pregnant?
Right.
So we probably need
You'd
a little
be thrown
direction.
In jail, obviously. Yeah.
We don't have a lot of HR background. Yeah.
So that we probably won't get any work with Sherm, but maybe through Stephanie.
No, but the employers would like that because then they'd get all that information.
Yeah, because let's face it. I mean, that's the next step. And something I plan to start incorporating on my blog is more audio and video because it just gives you insight.
Three dimensions. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, brings it to life. But again, I do encourage people to work with a professional or at least someone they trust that has demonstrated that they have
a
good
job,
judgment.
Right. That's always good.
Now, not everybody that has a job might be the best person to work with, but also not everyone that doesn't have a job, you know, should be disqualified. So.
Right.
But you do like some platforms better than others. I think I heard you mention WordPress.
I love WordPress. I'm using I'll tell you another mistake that I made when I started Radiant Veracity a couple of months ago, and I have to give credit to both Michael Long, the Red Recruiter, and my friend who I also met on Twitter, Miriam Salpeter. She's here in Atlanta. She's Kepi Careers on Twitter. And they both strongly encouraged me to start a professional blog, and I really resisted for, well, I say a long time. In hindsight, it was probably 2 months, but it felt like a long time. But because I knew that once I did it, I had to be really committed. So I waited until I felt like I was really ready to do it. And when I start, they both said, do a self-hosted blog, meaning don't do what I did, radiantveracity.wordpress.com. Instead, you go through a hosting company. I'm using Bluehost. It's like $6 a month or something. And you have your own URL, and then you build your blog on wordpress.org, which is much more customizable.
Is
and
that,
I think
how
user
much is
friendly.
That?
It's free.
Right.
Yeah. So So I did exactly what they told me not to do, and I set it up on WordPress.com.
You're a little stubborn, maybe.
Well, I am stubborn.
Maybe.
Maybe. But the reason I thought, nobody is going to read this, so why, you know, I'll do it on WordPress.
That's a little self-defeating.
Fortunately, I was wrong. So I thought, well, I'll just do it on WordPress.com for now, and then I can always move it, because they had both told me that's what they did.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or at least Miriam did. Maybe Michael was smart enough from the beginning to do it the right way. But knowing that I could move it, I just thought, well, I'll start out because I'm an amateur and I don't know what I'm doing, and no one's going to read it anyway for at least a year. And after less than 4 weeks, I'd already had 9,000 hits, and I was talking to Miriam on the phone, and I just said, is that a lot? She's like, you need to move to self-hosted right now. So guess what I did?
A month later?
No, I think the very next day.
Yeah.
So that's another tip. Do it right from the start. Well, invest the $6.
In yourself. Believe in yourself. The $6 a month. You can do this.
I'm a fan of GoDaddy. You know, I pay another $2, but then I get all the graphics with Dana Kirkpatrick whenever I'm signing stuff up.
Very nice.
You're a race fan.
Right, exactly. But your point's well taken. Talk to us a little bit, if you would, about the other side of the table. How about talent management professionals inside organizations that are looking for talent? What are some ways that they can utilize some of these tools and leverage
these tools?
Yeah, and that's a good question. And there are so many people on Twitter that are doing this well. And unfortunately, though, when I look at the number of them compared to how many talent acquisition, talent management people there are in the U.S. or around the world, it's a minuscule percentage, which is too bad, but that's okay. You know, they can join the party when they're ready, when they finally believe us. But, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, I saw a question in a LinkedIn group that I belong to for recruiters and sourcers a couple of months ago, and it said, is Twitter really just a big waste of time? Well, that just about sent me over the edge. And so, you know, I shared my 2 cents on LinkedIn, and then I blogged about it a lot and why it's not a waste of time. But, you know, when I read the opinions of the people on LinkedIn that were saying, yes, it's a waste of time, I went on there for 5 minutes, and I couldn't recruit anybody, so I'm not doing that anymore.
Well, as long as they gave it a fair shot.
Right. Yeah. Those are the same people that are posting ads on Monster and sitting back and waiting for all the candidates to flow in.
Right.
The qualified candidates. Now, I think, again, it's about building relationships and connecting with people, just like anything else we do. What makes you successful, you know, at a networking event or at a conference or in the office or making friends or whatever. I mean, it's the same principles apply. And I think if you go into it the right way, someone also recently asked a question. It was on the Harvard Business blog. He was at a conference and he tweeted something about he wished everybody would start applying the same acid bath of ROI on other things, just like they were doing on Twitter. And that also set me off, because I thought, you know, those are the people that want to measure. They want measured results. They want dollar signs within, you know, 10 minutes. That's not how you approach this. That's not how this works.
Right. Well, like, how can you put a price on that person in Texas
that
connected you to that?
Thank
what
you
price
very much.
Is that?
Right.
What is that? $1? $10,000? $100,000?
You
have a lifetime relationship
that's right.
now.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
How do you put a price on that? I mean, is there a way to put an ROI attached to something like
that?
Book you're writing, Stone, we could address that.
Well, and, you know, I can give you a couple of other great examples, too, that maybe someday I can put an ROI on this, but they haven't happened yet, so I don't know. But I mentioned my friend Miriam Salpeter of Kepi Careers. Mm-hmm. We met on Twitter. We've developed a great friendship. We've got a lot of different things now. You know, we're both entrepreneurs, and we both also share a lot of the same interests and the passion for helping, you know, people who need to find a job. And so we have put together now a series of seminars for job seekers that will here in Atlanta that'll be starting mid-August and run for a month.
Right.
So, you know, there is an example that if anybody decides to come and pay us for all of our work.
Well, there's a way to monetize it. But it's like something like when one of these big companies puts a billboard out in the middle of the road somewhere. What's the ROI on that one billboard?
Yeah, exactly.
They have no idea where the business mm-hmm. comes from.
What's the ROI of your last phone conversation?
Right.
It's the same, you know, anyway.
You just can't track it in that same
That's right.
same. It's not a direct response ad where you run the ad and then orders come in. You know, that's not how business takes place now.
Yeah. And so, back to the question. I mean, I think that, you know, human resources, talent, professionals, recruiters need to approach these communication tools is what I call them, because that's what I think they are, in the same way. And you don't, you know, you can't look at it. I mean, I don't cold call. I've never cold called it, except for when I worked for one person in particular who made me cold call, but that didn't last long. I don't like to get cold calls. I've never bought anything from a cold call. Now I don't even answer the phone, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, I like to do business and develop business by developing relationships with people. And so, you know, it's the same as the person who thinks they're just going to dial for dollars. You know, good luck with that. But I just think it's far more effective to, I'm not saying don't use the phone. I'm just saying use it in a way that is genuine and to connect with people and
help provide value, do those things. And then people perceive you as an expert, a trusted advisor, and you do business with you.
Well, and I don't know the first thing about recruiting, but I can just envision I'm on Twitter as a recruiter or an internal, you know, person that's responsible for getting talent. And I've started to talk about the kind of position that we're looking for. And I connect with someone that has that background and experience. And we go back and forth a little bit. We talk about the state of the industry. And, oh, it's a small world. You know Joe and I know Susie. Then I pick up the phone.
Right.
And I call that person.
That's right.
But also, it's when... While you're doing that, you're Googling that person and reading their blog.
That's right.
And you're seeing who else they're connected to, and you're going on LinkedIn and you're doing all this due diligence, and you're getting a kind of a pretty good picture of what kind of person this person is.
And you're going to their social resume interview.
You can hear how they sound.
This guy's going to get the job.
Well,
higher probability.
That's right. You know, and you know, you bring up a good point. People are Googling you, you know, and you know, whether you want to be found or not, you're going to be found. Mm-hmm. So my tip is manage what will be found when your name gets Googled. You know, manage what is online, what's out there. You know, I constantly Google, you know, and for privacy concerns, I Google my home address all the time. I Google my phone number. I Google, you know, a lot of different things about me so I can make sure that I'm managing what comes up. And, you know, just like I manage the image that I want to have on my blog or on Twitter or on LinkedIn, you need to manage that too.
And you need to do it. You need to take responsibility for doing that and having a blog and Twitter. And if there's anybody out there that's going to Google Stone Payton today, I can explain that one night in Alabama. There really is an explanation for that.
Don't worry. You throw out so much stuff. That's the beauty of putting out a lot of content. Just you put all the bad stuff and it gets buried.
No attention to the man behind the curtain. Read the new Circleonomics book.
Right. It's pay attention to nothing beyond like page 3 in Google. Right. That's all you have to do is push it down 30 little slots and you should be safe.
Yeah, you started to talk about some seminars, some workshops that you're doing. Can you tell us about any upcoming events that you have?
I can tell you about a couple. First is the series of job search seminars that I'm working on with Miriam. And the name of it is You Need a Job. The URL that we have reserved is youneedajob.org. Pretty soon you'll be able to go to that site and learn all about the seminars. But they start, the first one is August 13th. Which I believe is a Thursday. It's from, I think, 11:30 to 2:30. That's a three-hour, I call it an overview. That's not a good word because it's more than just surface. I mean, we will cover a lot of different things from beginning to end about the job search. People will walk away. They'll take home their 30-second pitch. I mean, they'll know what they're going to say the next time someone says, why are you looking for a job or what do you want to do? And I know it's hard to believe, but those are two key questions that people are going to get all the time, and whether, you know, informally or in an interview, and they can't answer them. Not well. So that's really important. You need to be able to say what you do, you know, or what you're looking for concisely and in a way that doesn't confuse everybody. So, you know, we'll get into a lot of these social media tools, talk about why they're important, you know, to talk about LinkedIn, Twitter, you know, we'll spend a little bit of time on the resume. And then the next three sessions that we'll do, those are 2 hours each for the next 3 weeks. We're calling those deep dives. We'll spend 2 hours on LinkedIn. And we'll have, if we have to split up into groups, you know, depending on where people are with it. But if we've got a some people that don't even have a profile, we'll sit down and we'll walk them through creating their profile.
So they'll have a profile when they leave there.
Yes, they
will.
So
that's super important. So they'll have a fleshed out LinkedIn page or a fleshed out Twitter profile.
And the people, for the people that have a LinkedIn profile already, we'll help them build it out, make it more robust, completely fill it out. We'll help teach them, you know, how to join groups and why, you know, and get them started on that. We'll teach them about answers and how they can use that. We'll teach them just some other more advanced ways that they can use LinkedIn to connect with people. And also, again, you know, just like we talked about with the blog earlier, to demonstrate their expertise.
Right.
And then, so then the next week will be a similar deep dive into Twitter, where again, you know, starting from, if you need us to help you set up your profile, we'll do that. We'll get them up and running. We'll teach them how to use it. If we've got a more advanced group, we'll get into some of the more esoteric uses of Twitter and that kind of thing. And then the final deep dive will be a 2-hour discussion on interviewing, and Miriam and I will even be doing mock interviews with people and giving them feedback on the spot.
Wow, so you'll do a little role playing live bullets before they get in front of real people.
So this is a live series workshop in person?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. We're holding it. This will be at Pizzeria Venti in Buckhead on Lennox Road.
At a pizza place. That's a bonus.
Oh, and it includes lunch.
I'll be there.
Dude, if I would have known that, I'm rescheduling that.
Yeah, lunch is included.
Cool.
No, they've got a really nice private room that we can use that's state-of-the-art audiovisual equipment.
Really?
And all that.
Yeah. At a pizza place?
I know.
That's good. Find. Make a note of that.
If you're interested, check out my friend Jamie, PVATL, on Twitter.
Yes, I will.
She and her husband own Pizzeria Venti, and they've been fabulous to work with. They're one of our sponsors.
So. Yeah, we will. Let's definitely check that out.
And anything else?
I do. Then I'm working with the fabulous Jenny Devon. She's also here in Atlanta, another friend I met on Twitter. She is a rock star recruiter and executive search consultant with Talent Connections here in Atlanta. She and I are working together. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but there was just, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, there was a social recruiting summit held at Google. And she and I had lunch afterwards, and she was kind of sharing, you know, with me what all I missed. And, you know, I just said, Jenny, we've got to get all these people here. So we are doing the social recruiting event of 2010 here in Atlanta.
Nice.
So stay tuned for details on that.
That's it.
Yeah, we sure
will.
We're
going to invite all these rock stars
here to Atlanta.
That's right.
That's how you do it.
So what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch with you?
Well, they can find me on my blog. The URL is radiantveracity.com. They can find me on LinkedIn. It's Stephanie A. Lloyd. And they can find me on Twitter, which is also Stephanie A. Lloyd. They can send me an email. My email address is Stephanie@CaliberHire, spelled CaliberHire.com.
Terrific. Well, listen, before we let you go, Stephanie, we have a little tradition here on the High Velocity Radio Show where we ask each guest if they would to share a mistake that they've made at some point in their career, and really, more importantly, what they learned from it. Could we get you to do that for us?
You can. And I thought about this over the week, and I'm glad you gave me some heads up on this. And this is a mistake, but it's not. I didn't just make this mistake one time. I made it a lot of times. When I was in my 20s and first starting out in corporate America, I was lucky to have a really fabulous mentor. And he was a retired regional vice president, the region that I worked in at the time, and was on staff as a consultant. So we did a lot of work together. And he, thankfully, he was always looking out for me. And he pulled me aside one day and he said, he was calling me Miss Lloyd. He said, Miss Lloyd, let me tell you something. You don't always need to start with the jugular. Sometimes all it takes is a nip at the ankle.
That's a good one.
And to this day, that's by far the best career advice I've ever gotten. I used to, you know, my reaction when someone didn't do something that I wanted them to do, or the way I wanted them to do it, or how fast I wanted them to do it, or whatever, I would go on the attack. And I, you know, his point was well taken, that sometimes you can just maybe nicely ask rather than, you know, go on the attack. And he said, you know, just start with a nip at the ankle. And if that doesn't work, then you can work your way up to the jugular.
Oh, what marvelous advice. Well, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show, Stephanie. And you just have so much experience and expertise to offer. I hope you'll come back and join us again sometime.
I would love to. We've got to get started on radio resumes.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
You're more than welcome. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton, Stephanie A. Lloyd, Lee Cantor, and the entire Radio X family saying, we'll see you in the fast lane.